Good morning and Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year
Happy
to
New Year.
You, too. Yay!
Woo-hoo. Are you still running 2024 on your checks?
Checks? What's a check, Arnoldy?
I am proud to say that I did write my first check of the year the other day and write 25.
Nice work.
Who are you writing checks to anymore?
Well, I always write checks.
I haven't written a check. I can't even tell you the last time I did.
Well, how do you pay your bills?
Who pays bills?
Yeah, online.
You do it online?
I do. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I do, too.
E-bills, or whatever you call that.
Or I Zelle.
Yeah.
I could Zelle you some money right now.
You could Zelle me some money?
Yeah.
The only time
I can Zelle you a bridge, too.
The only time I write a check is to the government when I owe them money.
No, I'm kidding. I do a little of both. I for the most part, I do pay online. But
occasionally, you have to write a check. But yeah. I honestly have not written a check in forever. You know, we young kids, we don't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll send you some Bitcoin or I don't even know what that means. All right, so I'm fascinated by the story that you had in your newscast
mm-hmm.
about the oldest person
in the world.
I
included that, hoping you were listening. Yes.
Yes. Well, you know, sadly, the oldest person in the world died, a Japanese.
Tomiko Itoka.
Now, would that be a man or a woman?
That is a woman.
And you said we're unclear on
the secret to her longevity.
Right.
Yeah. But they ask people that age and when they get into their upper 90s and hit 100, what's the secret to your long life? And you get as many answers as there are people.
Somebody asked me this morning. I don't know what that means exactly. Some guy on the street.
Your secret to life?
I don't even know who the guy was. But you said
did he make fun of your hat that you're wearing?
Well, you know what? My noggin is nice and warm.
I'll bet
it is. With this hat on. It's chilly.
With this cold weather we're having.
Yeah, they click the heat off in this place on the weekends. So it's chilly in here.
It's nice and warm in here today.
Is it really?
Oh, it's toasty in here.
Yeah, it's very nice.
I could hang meat in the studio. It's so cold.
You want to switch spots? Because I'd like it more cold.
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure.
Let's do that.
Go in there and work with him.
All right. Back to the Japanese lady. You said that she liked eating bananas?
Yes.
And a yogurt drink?
A yogurt-flavored drink, and I hope I'm saying this right. Kalpis. Kalpis. Yogurt-flavored drink. Kalpis.
I want to learn more about that. I love bananas.
Yes.
I love a nice banana.
She loved bananas and a yogurt-flavored drink.
Who doesn't like a banana?
She was 116.
You know what I love? Jeez. I love eating bananas while I'm writing checks. this Kalpis? Is that
right? Kalpis.
That's our best guess.
Is this their equivalent of a smoothie of sorts?
Well, let me tell you, I looked it up because I'm curious about this. I want to live to be 116.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. You mean I have to do this for the next...
I want to do it just to tick you off.
Well, that's been going on a long time.
Hey, Schwani. What's a check?
What year is it?
Where's my teeth? Kalpis was created in 1919. It is a milk-based soft drink, very popular in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
It is a probiotic drink.
Well, this is hence the yogurt-flavored type material.
Slightly tangy, mild, but refreshing.
Hmm.
And apparently, I guess you can get it in certain stores.
We'll have to check this out.
The basic ingredients are water, sugar, non-fat dairy milk treated with lactic acid and lactic acid culture.
Which would be kind of a yogurt,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a new recipe for your cooking segment.
Right? Kalpis.
Go for it.
Some nice kalpis. It's supposed to be, it's a good source of calcium.
Would be, yeah.
Good for bone and teeth health.
Yep. Definitely need that.
Yeah. Contains no artificial sweeteners, is low in calories, is sugar-free. No, wait. I just said it had
You just said it had sugar in it.
How can it say it's also sugar-free?
Unless it's something like monk fruit or something like that, which is really not sugar but tastes like it.
Yeah. Well, all I know is all I'm going to start eating is bananas and...
And drinking Kalpas now.
And this woman was born before that drink became
That's
a drink.
Right, 1908.
She was 11 years
old. She was 11 years old when it first came out.
When she was born, Teddy Roosevelt was president.
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
That is amazing.
That is amazing. Well, Shawnee and I will be here when we're 116 years old.
Sure we will.
Time for the far-flung forecast. Pretty cool stuff. Blue Man Group music. Today is the final Blue Man Group performance in Chicago. After like 25 years over at the Briar Street Theater on... Halstead Street near Belmont. I remember when it opened, seen it several times, and 25 years is a pretty good run.
That's an extraordinary run.
Right?
Was it the same people all the time for every show?
No, I didn't think so.
Yeah.
No, there have been several. I'll bet there have been dozens of Blue Men, including me once.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they blued me up once. I have pictures. I have pictures. They put me in the Blue Man stuff. They're trying to teach me how to be a Blue Man.
Did you wear your hat with it, too?
What are you fixated on, my
Well, they just saw my you're hat. Wearing your hat again today.
Because it's cold.
You look dapper.
Thank you.
You look very dapper.
Well, so do you.
Well, thanks to you. Thank you so
Andy,
much.
Andy, you look
Thank
very
you.
Dapper.
I appreciate
also.
That. Thank you.
I didn't mean to leave you out a moment ago when I said that. Shawnee and I would be 116 years old here,
still
doing the show.
Well, Andy's far and away the youngest,
he'll be
106.
That's why he'll be our caregiver.
I was going to be on a beach somewhere.
Feed me. I'm hungry. Yeah, final Blue Man performance today.
Is it today?
It's kind of historic, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yep.
There is a, if I'm understanding this correctly, a 1 o'clock show and a 4 o'clock show today. And I think tickets are still available.
There was another long-running show that ran at least 25 years or more that was at the Blackstone Hotel for ages. Sheer Madness.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of a whodunit thing, and they involved the audience with it. Yeah.
Yeah, those have got to be the longest running, in the history of Chicago theater. Those have to be among the longest running, I would think.
Because
other shows have run like 1 to 3 years. Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat with Donny Osmond ran for, it might be 2 years, year and a half, 2 years. Wicked ran for a while. Hamilton ran for, a few years. But nothing like these shows. I wonder what's going to happen at the Briar Street Theater now.
Well, they'll take a break, come up with something else. Yeah. Maybe we can do the show from there.
Every Sunday?
Yeah, why not?
It'd be fun. Do a live show every
Live day. Show on stage?
We could do things with the extra blue paint, too.
Why should we be the only ones to be able to experience this and wonderful 3D.
Yeah, exactly.
Tickets are available, by the way, still. If you're interested in Blue Man today, there you go. So when is the snow going to... It's tonight? Tonight, tomorrow morning, the snow?
Yeah, the snow late today into this evening, and tomorrow, areas of snow is what Tim Joyce is calling for, meaning some lake effect snow, some squall action probably, a couple inches.
I love a good
but
squall.
nothing at all like the storm that's moving through central Illinois and not all that far south of us. Central Illinois and into Indiana, all the way out east.
Right.
This storm is a very, very long stretch. And
we're just sort of getting swiped by this.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's still going to be, it could be 1 to 3 inches in certain areas. Of
by the time it's all over tomorrow, depending on where you are.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm not taking any precautions. This show today, I have loaded jumper cables, flares, reflectors, windshield washer fluid.
Good work.
I've got some sandbags in the back of the car, emergency food.
Did the show leave early, do a lot of extra time?
Yes, it did. Okay. Avoided bridges and overpasses.
They tend to freeze first, from what I hear.
They do tend to freeze first.
And use caution when you are on the bridge decks and ramps.
That's right. Now, I learned something new when I was – I actually looked up winter driving tips so we could make fun of them today. I didn't know. It says here you're supposed to avoid using cruise control.
That makes sense.
In snow and ice.
That makes sense.
Not that I would use it. I don't think I've ever used my cruise control. Have you?
Yeah, I have. Not often, but if you're out on the open road, it's nice, yeah. And then just to deactivate it, you just hit the brake and it turns off.
Turns it off. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like these driverless cars that they have now.
No, those are scary.
Those are scary, but the cruise control, same thing. You've got your foot off the gas, and it's, you know, wherever you set it, 60 miles an hour if you're on the highway, 70, whatever. And it just feels out of control.
Yeah, and mine is what they call adaptive cruise control, so it's got a little sensor. When you start getting closer to the car in front of you, it slows you down automatically.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. But it's weird because if you're on the highway, you can't build up enough speed to get around that person because you got somebody coming at you in the passing lane.
Yeah.
So it's a great tool, but it's also a little bit of a hindrance when you're trying to pass somebody.
I don't like all that new fancy stuff on the cars. Yeah.
I hardly use it.
My brother just got a new car. He said he hates all the warnings and bells and whistles.
Well, this is why I drive a 1964 Impala.
Yeah.
You know.
Is that an Impala? I thought it was a Dodge. I thought you had a Dodge Dart.
I had a Dodge Dart, one of my first cars in 1979 or so.
Did you really?
Yes. Yes. Oh, talk about a piece of work.
Yeah, it was wheels back then.
Mm-hmm. It was wheels.
The first car that I drove was my mom's car, which was a Rambler American. Remember Ramblers?
Oh, yeah, sure.
It was square.
She had a Rambler?
She had a Rambler American.
You know, the forerunner of Rambler was a car manufacturer named Nash.
Rambler Nash?
Yeah. Rambler Nash or Nash Rambler.
I would like that to be my radio name.
Which one, Nash Rambler or Rambler Nash?
You don't like Dean Diamond anymore.
I would like, hey, man, this is Rambler Nash.
Rambler Nash.
Nash Rambler? Yeah, I think I like Rambler Nash.
I think I do, too, yeah.
You'd have to do that on a very laid-back format, though. This is Rambler Nash.
Yeah. If I ever go back to smooth jazz.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah. Which,
by the way, is never going to happen, by the way. Not you can even torture me.
Not in the cards.
To go back to that. 630 area code says that the, what was it, Cassie drink?
Kalpas.
A texter says all large Asian malls carry that popular drink.
Oh, okay.
I've seen these. Have you ever been in these Asian supermarkets? I think they're called H Marts.
Yep.
I love them.
You mean Asian owned, you mean?
Well, it's predominantly Asian products.
Asian fare there, okay.
Yeah, stuff that you would find to prepare Asian foods and but it's like Asian cleaning products and Asian everything. It's really very cool. I go often and buy stuff. So that's where I'm going to buy my Kalpas.
They'll probably have it there.
Yep.
Let us know what you think.
Well, you'll see when I turn 116. and I have banana juice all over my face.
See, I told you
Andy,
so.
There's Andy. Wipe my face.
Sorry, I'm at H-Mart looking for some more.
someone also on our text line. Well, we got early texters today. Reminding us that late night catechism ran for years.
Oh yeah, okay.
Is that the show with the nuns? With the
there was one
with the rulers.
Oh, the other one was black patent leather shoes really reflect up? Was the other long running show?
Yes.
I remember seeing ads when I first came to Chicago for that on TV.
No. I remember that. There's that and the other show that I know ran for quite a few years. I don't think the length of, certainly not Blue Man or maybe Sheer Madness, but Tony and Tina's Wedding.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, I went to that. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was a fun show.
That was like dinner theater.
Dinner theater, and then the audience, again, participating in the reception, yeah, because you got out and danced, and you were with the bridal party, and there was a fight between some of the people in the wedding party. Yeah,
it's like a regular family wedding.
It was fun.
I was best man at a wedding once, years ago, where it got a little out of hand. The alcohol was flowing
through. Oh, really? Yeah.
It was at, you know where it was at? What was that? It was a hotel and banquet hall on LaGrange Road. I can't think of the name of the place. A famous place, though. Anyway, the wedding was there in the banquet hall. Fight broke out. Migrated over to the swimming pool area.
Uh-oh.
And many people in the wedding party, not me, but many people in the wedding party, wound up in the swimming pool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That cooled them off. That'll cool you off.
Exactly. Rented tuxes too, right?
Yeah. How about that?
Oh.
Oh, we brought these back. We washed them already.
Yes. Pre-washed in chlorine.
Now, the bride... chose our tuxedos. She chose the colors, you know, all that. And they were like beige colored tuxedos, top hat, tails, and cane.
Wow. Oh, I'd love to see a picture of this.
We looked like a vaudeville show. Yeah. The groomsmen.
No monocles?
How did we not have an ascot?
Yeah, exactly.
How did we not have? We looked ridiculous. Because none of us should have been wearing that
getup.
Top hat and tails, number one, but beige color.
I want to see pictures.
I have pictures. You'll find them. You'll find them.
I'll find them when I have to go to your house and find those other pictures.
To get the Schwanee.
Those other pictures.
The blackmail pictures that I've got. you have a nice far-flung forecast for us?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, something to start off the year, important anniversary here, historic anniversary.
Right. Well, let's get to that when we update the news after this. All right, some follow-up off the text line. That hotel whose name I couldn't think of before? The William Tell.
The William Tell Hotel?
William Tell Hotel in Countryside.
Okay.
That's where... Half the
That's
wedding.
What it was. I knew somebody would have the answer to that.
Tons of the text line went nuts. Everybody except me remembered. But that's where most of the bridal party wound up in the swimming pool.
That's hilarious.
What too many 77s will do.
More than that.
Jeff Hoover from our WGN-TV Morning News. Maybe you've heard of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Reminds me that the show Too Much Light Makes the Baby Go Blind by the Neo-Futurists ran from 1988 to 2016.
It's a long run.
That's a long run.
That's a long run, yeah. Somebody said Defending the Caveman ran forever. And this one's this is my favorite text of the morning. 630 area code, the H Mart in Naperville has 7 different kinds of Spam.
Huh.
That's fantastic.
I'm going to have to check this out.
I love me some Spam. When I was in Hawaii recently, Spam is that. They sell Spam.
You had Spam in Hawaii?
Spam, like sushi, at McDonald's.
Whoa.
Huh.
Spam is super popular in Hawaii and other parts of the world, but apparently in Naperville also. They have 7 different kinds at the store. I love that. Well, if you think Spam is popular, wait until you hear today's far-flung forecast, our weekly compendium of fascinating facts and figures now in its 75th year. Each and every week presented to us. I just thought it would make it sound more important if I said that. It's not true, but I thought I would just make it sound more important.
Family owned and operated.
Yeah, now in CinemaScope. Here's Dave Schwann.
Well, thank you very much, and Happy New Year to everyone. We thank you for joining us on this fine Sunday morning, and get out your compasses, protractors, and newfangled devices, because we're heading out west to Sausalito, California.
I love when you try to sound rugged.
Sausalito, California.
You try to sound like the Marlboro Man. We're headed out west.
We're heading out west to Sausalito, California.
Woo!
The population, 7,269.
Yep.
Sausalito was first founded by Spanish settlers there. It actually, the word means small willow grove.
Sausalito?
Sausalito means small willow grove. The first known European visitors there were took place in August of 1775.
It's a lovely community, now, Sausalito.
Sausalito, it actually is. Sausalito is on the north end of the brief land span, or small span of land there, that is at the north end of what we now know as the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yes.
And it was 92 years ago today that they began construction on the Golden Gate Bridge.
Wow.
92 years ago, January 5th, 1933, at a cost of a whopping $35 million, that would be $610 million in today's money.
Of course. How long did it take to build it?
A couple of years, but it was completed ahead of schedule and came in $1.3 million under budget.
Oh.
Very efficient.
It's always nice.
Can I add something
to this? You may.
That kind of ties everything together that we've been talking about so far this morning.
If this has to do with spam.
No spam.
I'm going to be extra happy.
It has to do with a car that we've been talking about. There was a song called Sausalito Summer Night by a group named Diesel that was back in 1981.
Yes.
And they mention a Rambler in that car.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at that, how it all ties together.
Yeah.
We do this without knowing it. This is the marvel of this program.
Swanee, pretend like we researched.
Sausalito, California, a beautiful place to be. Is clear skies today, 47, a high of 58 today in Sausalito, California.
And when we come back, Dr. Jeremy Silver joins us. The Week in Health is next. It is 941. And this is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Later in the show, Kevin Hart, who is in the Chicago area, DraftKings at Wrigley Field. At 10:30 this morning. Right now, though, the Week in Health, our pal Dr. Jeremy Silver joining us, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Doctor, Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Happy New Year, Dean.
Wonderful to have you on with us. All I've been hearing in the news lately regarding health issues, Neurovirus. It's we need to be a little concerned about this right now, don't we?
Well, it's an old familiar friend, and I don't mean a nice kind of friend. It's a very contagious virus that causes vomiting and diarrhea. Many people refer to it as the stomach flu or the stomach bug. But it is not technically a flu virus. It is a gastrointestinal virus that makes people extremely sick for a short period of time, and then they tend to get better. But sometimes folks can get so dehydrated so quickly they need some help, and we're there to help them in the emergency department if that's the case.
Dehydrated more than you can replenish with water or a sports drink. You're talking about like sort of intravenous saline, something like that?
You got it. Or just, you know, the viruses that attack the gastrointestinal tract, your tummy, if you want to think of it that way, or your colon, that part of your bowel that you make the poop in, without getting too gross about it, those areas get seized up and the virus starts replicating, making copies of itself, and your body tries to fight it off. and all of those white blood cells create a fluid rush, and it all seeps into your gastrointestinal tract. Your body just starts pushing it out, for lack of a better description, and you can't keep up, either because you simply lose the fluid too quickly and your body goes into shutdown mode, or alternatively, you're just too darn nauseous to get anything, or lastly, you're so crampy that every time you try and take a sip, it just seizes up and makes you hurt. So for those reasons, we can help not just with the fluid, but with the symptoms.
Yeah, what I've heard from people who have had it is that it just knocks you for a loop. How do you catch norovirus in the first place? Is it something airborne? Do you have to touch the wrong thing? How do you get it?
Yeah, it's a surface virus, so it lives on surfaces, and, you know, again, this is, you know, the kind of icky stuff of medicine, but it's important for people to know that you really need to wash your hands after you're using the bathroom, and so if maybe you didn't wash it up, or you forgot, or some, actually more likely a little kid touched a doorknob, and you touch a doorknob, boom, it's there on you. And, you know, that very quickly you scratch the corner of your eye, or you eat it, you know, a piece of toast, and then that virus jumps in your mouth and it's off to the races.
Okay. So if this happens, do you just wait it out? Should you go see a doctor? What's the best thing to do if you start to notice some of these symptoms that you're talking about?
Well, it comes on quickly, and so, you know, in many cases, you might have heard, oh, you know, so-and-so's kid at daycare had it, and then you can sort of plan, I better get some Pedialyte and Gatorade, and so it comes on quickly within 12 to 48 hours of being exposed, and you might have some pain in your belly, diarrhea, vomiting, nausea. Some people get fever, headache, body aches, like a general flu type of syndrome. Where you want to get to the doctor is where you can't keep up with what's going out. What's coming in isn't keeping up with what's going out. So if the pee is less, particularly in a baby who's going to be more susceptible to this, so if the fewer wet diapers in a child, if a kid is crying and they're not really making tears, that's a red flashing light to go to the hospital.
Right.
Or, you know, just lack of activity in general, those sorts of things. If you're an adult, you start feeling lightheaded when you stand up, or your heart's racing, or you just can't keep the fluid in, you know, come and see us. We can help.
Yeah. The talking about kids, are people over 65, seniors, are they, you know, likely to catch this more than someone who is middle-aged?
They are. You know, just the immune system just doesn't work as well. After 65, you may not be able to mount a fever. You know, they may draw blood work and your white count may be normal, but that doesn't mean you're not ill. And in fact, many of the folks that we end up admitting during these surges happen to be older folks for that very reason.
Now, somebody has texted in and said, once you have neurovirus, are you immune for a while, as is the case with some other viruses?
Yeah, you're certainly immune for that period to an extent, but that doesn't mean that you won't get it again. It just might mean that the next time is a little more mild, and it certainly doesn't mean that you won't spread it to somebody else.
Now, what about RSV is also something that I'm hearing a lot of lately. You know, people getting vaccinated for COVID, getting vaccinated for the flu, not as many people, I don't think, getting vaccinated for RSV. And in particular, if you're over the age of 65, you should, right?
Yes. In fact, even over 60, they're saying. Anyone over 60, basically, if you're over 60 and you have any kind of risk factor, if you're not perfectly healthy, and few people are perfectly healthy in their 60s, go and get that vaccine, and everybody who's 75 and older absolutely needs it. But there's other types of people that can benefit from it. So babies can get it, and pregnant women who are in their 32nd through 36 weeks of pregnancy are eligible for it. It's, you know, RSV in many people is a mild illness, but in young babies can be horrible. and can be life-threatening. Not just that, but it can impact the health of the child on an ongoing basis if they have a severe infection, if they make it through. So definitely in favor of that vaccine. The other nice thing about that vaccine is it's a one-time, one-and-done, so you're not going back for booster shots.
Okay, you get that over with, and then you're done. Can you explain RSV a little bit? I know it's a respiratory disease, but how do you get it? What are symptoms? So people are aware of all that.
Sure. So RSV stands for respiratory syncytial virus. So RSV, that's an easier way to say it. And it affects, like many of these viruses, it's a respiratory virus. It affects people at the extremes of age. We tend to see kids, young kids and babies, as well as older adults. We may incidentally diagnose it in people, in their 30s and 40s, but it just doesn't tend to be that severe for those folks, with certain exceptions. So people with asthma or COPD may actually present with a more severe form of it. But it tends to... It's in the air, so it's in droplets in the air, so you can get it by breathing in the same air that other people are breathing. It comes on within a couple of days, and it typically has a waxing and waning course, meaning that you might be sick on day one, and then you seem like you're getting better, and then the night comes in, and, if it's a child, I often hear from parents, they were fine during the day, they were playing, and then at night I heard them breathing funny, and it made me nervous, and I came in. And that's very classic for RSV. Where you can get into trouble, particularly with young children, is the breathing becomes an issue. They breathe so fast for such a long period of time, they get tired. And that's when they need support with things like oxygen and other medications. In terms of treating it, there's not a whole lot you can do. Some patients, some kids and adults will benefit from inhalers, but it does. They don't always work. Steroids definitely have not been shown to be super helpful, and there's definitely no place for antibiotics because it's just a virus. So 99% of the time, people coast through and do okay. Every once in a while, we have to bring people into the hospital and take care of them.
Okay, all right. I know, if I remember correctly, that you can get your flu and COVID shots together. Can you also, make it a threesome and get the RSV at the same time, too?
You can. Yep. There's no reason why you can't. Now, some physicians or pharmacists may recommend spreading certain vaccines out to optimize the immune response. And so I would have that conversation with the pharmacist or the doctor. But to my knowledge, yeah, you can bang them all out.
Yeah. Okay. Now, if you're going to have all three, though, is there a greater chance that you might have some kind of a reaction? And I've heard people say that they don't like to group up their vaccines because if they do have a reaction, it's easier to tell which vaccine caused it if you have them individually instead of having multiple vaccinations at the same time.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with spreading them out. Neither is there anything wrong with batching them, but you're correct. If you did happen to be one of the rare people that had a reaction, then you potentially wouldn't know which vaccine caused it, and then you'd be in a pickle. So which one do I not get again, or do I skip all three, and where does that leave me in terms of being vulnerable? So certainly would advocate for either strategy is fine, and certainly doing them one at a time gives you the opportunity to isolate reactions for sure.
Yeah, here's a little reality check on our text line. 630 area code said our 2-year-old grandson caught RSVP from his big brother. As an infant, he was intubated and almost died from it. I went and got my vaccine that day, it says here. I'm 71 years old. I mean, that's how serious it is, and especially if you're very young or very old, it can be very serious very quickly.
Well, to the listener, I'm so glad that the child made it through, and thanks for sharing that story. It's true. Most people don't see what we see in the hospital, and so you know, we try to be have a measured response to the respiratory season, because it comes on hot and heavy, but it definitely can be severe. And so this is why we give these recommendations to folks, to try and limit the risk.
Yeah, thank goodness for you guys. This is a great question from 708. Can the doctor give some tips to people to boost their immune system naturally?
Great question.
Are there things that we can do?
100%. There's so many great things that that we all can do to varying degrees, and it all comes down to preventative measures. So one is what we've already talked about. If the healthcare experts are saying, hey, here are these vaccines that are safe and effective, do your research and go get them. And we've talked about this over and over again. It's very important to help your immune system by giving it that turbocharge of a vaccine. The other is sleep. Sleep is incredibly important to building up the immune system. In fact, people that don't get enough sleep or have poor sleep quality are at higher risk for all kinds of diseases, stroke, heart disease, diabetes, and mental health issues, but also it impacts your immune system. Diet and exercise. We say this over and over again, it almost becomes like background noise, but it's so true. It's managing your stress by getting cardiovascular activity or walking, and eating foods that are, you know, all the four food groups with the vegetables, and trying to avoid processed foods. Those are some very basic steps that everybody can take that will definitely impact your immune system.
How do you fall on like multivitamins and things like that? I've heard some people say it's a good idea. I've heard some people say that if you're eating properly, you don't really need to take those.
Yeah, I think it depends. You know, some people just aren't able to transmit the vitamins to their gut, whether it's through chronic disease, like chronic kidney disease, for instance. Those folks are maybe not going to have a similar level of magnesium, for instance, that healthy people will. So there are examples where supplements can be helpful. They can also be harmful. You have to be careful if you do have, in particular, liver or kidney disease. You know, and as you get older, sometimes your diet just is impacted in a way that you're not getting those vitamins. So I think that's a very personalized area of medicine that you really need to talk to your doctor, maybe look at your blood work and see, you know, am I low in B12 or what does my magnesium look like? Am I at risk for low calcium, vitamin D, and have that conversation with your doctor. But I think there's a place for supplements, and I still think that we don't fully understand how they're going to be beneficial. You know, we see some signals in the data on medications like turmeric, for instance. They think it may have an anti-inflammatory effect, but it's not 100% clear. So I think the jury's still out on a lot of this stuff, but definitely some benefit.
Yeah, very interesting. Really interesting info this week. Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Have a great Sunday and Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Same to you. Thanks for having me.
So I imagine at this time tomorrow morning when Bob Surratt's back, going to be talking about quite a bit of snow in the show.
Well, not here so much, but...
Well, 1 to 3, right?
1 to 3 here, which is the most we've had thus far this season.
Not a lot, but it's the most we've had.
So far, but as I said, and as Tim Joyce said, you don't have to go all that far south here in Illinois. They will be feeling the effects of this. Not only snow, but ice. That's a big problem also.
Right.
Yeah.
Well... You know, it's it can be very dangerous, so be careful. But, you know, we in the media are bound by our sacred oaths to make a big deal out of it, to over-dramatize it. I can imagine that reporters are already lined up on expressway overpasses for no particular reason, just to show that they're outside. So, you know, be careful. Be careful of the snow plows. I've seen people...
Give them room to do their job.
Yeah, when they're out, you know, doing their jobs, people are zooming and cutting in front of them, and You know, make, you know, use some common sense.
Absolutely. And you're supposed to.
Yeah. And if you do get stuck in the snow, be careful.
Here we go.
Here's a tip. Clear your exhaust pipe when you run your car if you get stuck to avoid carbon monoxide poisoning.
That's a good idea. Yeah. I got.
You want to be careful if no one's stuck a potato in your exhaust pipe.
I was just thinking about the potato in this. Remember the Three Stooges episode when there was stuff in the exhaust pipe and Mo put his face right in front of it and it stepped on the gas?
Andy, what time did you have the first Three Stooges reference?
You know what? I had the over today and I was glad because the over-under was set at 927.
Good. Okay. Well, yes. You did well today. Very nice. Actually, I don't remember.
Come on. I think it was a Shemp episode. They stepped on the gas, and of course, out came all the exhaust and everything else that was in the pipe.
That's comedy right there.
Had to get that in there. That's what I thought of.
If stranded in your car, display an emergency marker on the road and turn on your interior lights.
Now, I have to tell you, I got a marvelous Christmas gift from my girlfriend Gilda this year.
Yes.
And it is exactly what we're talking about. It's a comprehensive emergency kit. Huh. This thing has everything in it. The emergency marker, it has a first aid kit, it has tools to fix flat tires.
Wow.
It's remarkable. It's just great. In fact, it even comes with a light, batteries included.
Hmm.
With, you know, if you're in the dark, it's a headlamp, actually, with LED lights. You wear it, on your forehead while you're trying to fix a tire.
Those things are very handy.
They really are.
I have a flashlight that you put on your head also.
Are you going to wear your hat with that, too? That would be a great look. The hat with the headlight? Whoa. That's a fashion trend there.
I want to know why Gilda thinks that you're going to have some major winter issues that she got such a comprehensive
thing. It was a marvelous thing, and the more I think about it, the more grateful I am for it, because you never know when you may need these things.
What did you get her? Soap on a rope again this year. I knew it. Oh, my. Many things playing there at once.
She got some very nice jewelry.
I love the computer. It completely ruins my joke, but...
Soap on a rope. No, she got some very nice jewelry.
This is what it was supposed to sound like. Soap on a rope, I'll bet. Swanee down on the ground in the newsroom with a big piece of cardboard. First, I got a bang. Doing his break dancing.
This is fun.
This is credited as being the first rap song ever. Andy, you know this song.
Yeah, Sugar Hill Gang, right?
Saw you hip-hop.
Rapper's Delight.
Saw you hip-hop and head bobbing along. Yes, Rapper's Delight, the Sugar Hill Gang. It was on this day, 44 years ago, that it became the first rap record ever to get on the Billboard top 40.
1981?
1980.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. It's 2025.
It's 2025.
45 years ago today. I forgot.
You know, there's a debate about what actually was the first rap song, because Blondie, I believe it might have been a year earlier, had a song called Rapture.
Oh.
And at the very end, she raps. So I'm not sure if that is completely accurate. Again, I don't know the criteria, but she certainly did rap at the end of Rapture.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. I remember that. Well, we'll let the music experts.
Absolutely. Let them do their thing. Plus, we get to hear the song. That's even better.
Debate that. I love that song. When I guess it must have been 45 years ago, I was working evenings at the old WFYR, Fire Radio. I'm on fire.
Hey.
Swanee, is that where we met?
No, WCFL.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah, we kind of traded stations in different directions. You had come from WFYR to CFL, that's when I started, and then I went from CFL to FYR in 1982.
All right.
That's how that happened.
That's how long we've known each other.
And then
that's why we love each other so much now.
1991, at another radio station, you came in the newsroom and you said, "You again?" And then in 2005, when I came here, you walked in and you went, oh no.
Brother. He's on my show.
Oh, no.
Of all the shows on WGN, he's on my show.
He has to be of all the shows on all the radio stations in the world.
Anywho.
He has to be on this one.
So it was apparently 45 years ago on Fire.
Did you play it on Fire?
I was sitting doing my little evening show, and the program director came in with a record album, a vinyl record album. What's a record album, Uncle Dean? He brings it in. He goes, "Play this next. Play this. You got to hear this." This was all very WKRP.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the program director bursting into the studio. So we got the turntable out. We didn't usually play.
I was going to say, you needed to get the Techniques SL-78.
That's exactly the one that we used.
Type 2.
Right.
Plug it in.
And I put the needle on the record. Put the needle on the record.
Remember how to cue up a record?
Oh, yeah. That was an art.
Quarter
turn. It was an art.
Quarter turn for the 33 and a third, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, Neil Diamond ended.
Oh, man.
And on came Rapper's Delight.
Did you just do a segue between the two?
We just transitioned from one song to the next.
Oh,
but
my goodness.
As far as I know, that was the first time Rapper's Delight was played.
You didn't come
in
on
Chicago.
Saying, "Hey, kids, here's something new."
Hey, that was September Morn, and now.
Or something completely different.
Very much so.
Exactly. So, happy anniversary, Rapper's Delight.
I still love that scene in The Wedding Singer when the grandma gets up and does that. She does the rap.
Yeah.
It was either a bar mitzvah or a wedding. I can't remember which one it was. But
hilarious.
Absolutely funny.
Hilarious. Speaking of movies, the Golden Globe Awards are tonight. Movie award season kicks off. The Golden Globes honor what they think are the best in movies and TV. And the movies that are nominated, A Complete Unknown, the Bob Dylan movie, which you saw.
Mm-hmm. It ought to be.
Yeah. Did you like it?
Loved it.
Did we talk about this?
Yes, we did. Yeah.
Timothy Chalamet is amazing in it as Bob Dylan.
So is Edward Norton as Pete Seeger.
Yes, he is. The movie Conclave is nominated. Dune Part 2, which is great. The movie Nickel Boys is nominated September 5. And The Brutalist, which has not opened in Chicago yet. That's for Best Drama. Motion pictures. For musical or comedy, the nominees are Wicked, Emilia Perez, Challengers, Anora, The Substance, and A Real Pain. So we'll see what winds up being the winners. The nominees, just real quick here, on the television side, let me scroll down to that. For Best TV Drama, The Diplomat, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Shogun, Slow Horses, Squid Game, and Day of the Jackal. For Best Musical or Comedy TV, The Bear, of course, Abbott Elementary, of course, Hacks, of course, Only Murders in the Building, of course, Nobody Wants This, and The Gentleman are all nominated. So the awards start at 7 o'clock Chicago time tonight on CBS. I will be reporting on it all tomorrow morning. As I always say with the award shows, I watch so you don't have to. I'll have all the winners and losers and highlights and lowlights all tomorrow morning on WGN TV Morning News. Okay. So we've been talking about the snow tonight. We're going to check in with weather producer Bill Snyder in just a minute and get a little detail on what we could be up for tonight and tomorrow morning. Next,
be there with snow.
Yeah, if you've been listening to the weather reports, it looks like it's going to be tonight / tomorrow morning. Could be the most snow that we've gotten in the Chicago area so far this season. Who better to check in with in such a situation than WGN TV weather producer Bill Snyder? Recently back from Jamaica, just to put a little salt in the wound. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hey, Dean, how are you? It's good to talk to you, my friend. Yeah, this is a little bit of a harsh dose of reality really quick, isn't it?
It is.
Nothing like coming back from 85-degree sunshine and back to full-blown winter in Chicago, you know?
How long in Jamaica, man?
You know what, man? It was about a week and a half, and I'll tell you what, Dean, we had a wonderful time. It was great. I mean, the people down there are just so friendly, and, it's a different way of lifestyle that, those folks work so hard, you know, for their money down there, and they rely on tourists like us to benefit them. So it's really cool. It's like I said, just listening to the reggae music. It's very, very peaceful and relaxing down there.
Very, very nice. So next time you see Bill, if he's got his Rastafarian hair, his hair braided and dreads and dashikis and all that, you'll understand why. So how bad is it going to get tonight, Bill?
Well, you know what, Dean? This is a significant and disruptive winter storm that's taking place, from the Central Plains, mid-Mississippi Valley to the Ohio Valley. It's going to cause several travel delays. The system has at least 21 states under some form of winter weather advisory, and that includes areas like Kansas City, St. Louis, Springfield, Indianapolis, Columbus, Cincinnati, and then eventually Washington, D.C. But the good news for us, Dean, is that the bulk of this system is going to pass to our south. So the system snow will miss us completely. However, there is a wild card in the storm, and that is in the form of lake effect snow. So we're not going to see really any system snow, but it's interesting, Dean. When you look at what we look at is the delta T, and that is the difference between the mean surface lake water temperature and then the air that's coming in aloft. So we've got a little prod of Arctic air that's coming in, and so when you get a temperature differentiation of 20 degrees between, say, your temperature mean surface temperature of the lake and the temperature a mile above the ground, that sets up a conducive development for lake effect snow to occur. Well, we've got what's amounts to about a 30 degree or 35 degree difference between the air aloft and the mean surface temperature of the lake. So what that means is we're going to see later tonight into tomorrow morning, when the winds become more north-northeast, a band of lake effect snow to develop. And so it looks like right now that this could have an impact on our morning rush hour tomorrow for parts of the area. If you're listening to us out in the Fox Valley or out towards, McHenry County and Rockford, you'll say, hey, what's all the fuss about? Because they're not going to see anything but more than maybe a few flurries out in those areas. But here in close approximation to the city, Dean, we could see, if you're listening in DuPage County, you could see 1 to 2 inches, maybe even 3 inches if possible. But basically across northern Cook County and Lake County, as much as 2 to 4 inches could set up, at least according to the latest ensemble modeling we look at.
Okay, so this giant storm system really is sort of just going to brush us then. We'll just have a little residual of the lake effect, not the brunt of it.
Exactly, Dean. Yeah, this will not be a direct hit, and the models have been so consistent, and I've been following it from down in Jamaica, and the beauty of the technology is you can look at all this stuff on your phone, and before we wanted to give the all clear sign, you wanted the system to become on to move on land here across the U.S. was out in the Pacific Ocean, and we have the weather balloon network sampling the data, and it has a better handling of these type of storm systems once it makes landfall. And so the modeling has been consistent, and again, it's going to be a whopper for areas downstate. They're going to see significant accumulations in those areas. Indianapolis could get upwards of a foot or more of snow. St. Louis, a mixture of snow, sleet, and freezing rain, and they could get total snow accumulations of up to 6 to 8 inches in those down in those areas. So, when you consider what's happening, and then, Dean, an ice storm in far southern Illinois, where, a quarter to a half inch of ice in the far southern portion of our state, that's going to really produce, widespread tree damage, dangerous travel, and probably prolonged power outages. So, when you consider what we may get a couple inches of snow in parts of our area, we're getting off pretty well.
The 312 area code, Bill, says Is this guy related to Tom Skilling? He's great.
Oh, I appreciate that.
That's a
Thank
nice compliment. That's a compliment.
Yes.
For how many years?
That is definitely a compliment. Yeah. Absolutely.
For how many years did you produce Tom's weather forecast?
I worked with Tom for 27 years.
Yeah,
Some of it brushed off.
Yeah.
I learned from the best. There's no question about it. So,
Bill, what's it look like? Long range. Maybe it's impossible to tell at this point. Does it look like it's going to be a really cold winter or a snowy winter?
You know, Dean, I think that kind of what we've seen so far, at least in the first month of, we as weather folks like to look at this, the seasons and climatologically. We break it down from December, January, February, and March, April, and May for spring. And it's just done that way, and it's been done that way for a while just because it makes record keeping easier. So from a meteorological standpoint, I would say that, kind of what we've seen so far is the trend that we're going to see throughout the winter. We'll get these surges of Arctic air. It's going to be a fairly chilly week here, but nothing record-breaking. I mean, by January standards, it could be much, much worse. So we're talking, once we get through this band of lake effect snow, we're talking about highs in the 20s for several days, low to mid-20s and lows in the teens. So, we're not talking below zero, 10, 15 below zero like it could get. But I think we're going to see swings back and forth overall. And answering your question, Dean, we'll have spells where we'll get bursts of mild Pacific air like we had, to close out the new year later in the month in December where we had, near 50-degree temperatures. And then we'll oscillate back and forth where we'll get these surges of cold air like we're going to see here. By and large, temperatures are going to be below normal for the most part for the next week and a half. But I don't think it's going to just be uninterrupted cold for the rest of the winter. No.
Billy, you are the greatest. Bill Snyder, WGN-TV weather producer. Happy New Year to you. I haven't seen you in a long time. I miss you.
I know. I always look forward to see when we get to catch up, and it seems like those moments are few and far between. But love talking to you, my friend.
Opposite ends of the day over at the TV station, but it's always
good
to hear your voice. All the best to you, Bill, and thank you for coming on with us today. We appreciate it.
Hey, always a pleasure to join you, my friend, and Happy New Year to you and to all of our listeners out there.
So we have Hamp and OB coming up, right?
At 11. Yep. And Hamp OB and Andy. Yes, sir.
Andy Major.
Yep. Yep.
Detailing the Bears Green Packer game.
Boy, oh boy.
What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly happen? Yes. Think about how cold it is up there.
Oh, brother. Do we know what the weather is in Green Bay?
Not offhand, but we can find out very quickly thanks to this newfangled gadget.
Wait, Jack Hammer, our producer Jack Hammer, on the weather scene with this. What did you say it was?
I saw on Twitter that it's like zero at field level.
Oh, wow.
You know what? You got to wear an extra thermal cheese hat. Those wedge of cheese hats.
That hat you're wearing won't quite do.
No, mother's. mine is designed for bald guys to keep the noggin warm. The cheese hat is, when you want to look extra goofy, and it offers, it's just foam rubber, right?
The cheese hats? I think so, yeah.
It can't be that warm.
No, those aren't warmth. That's just decoration.
That explains Packers fan behavior. Anywho, Hamp and OB, the final Bears game of the year, and the final Hamp and OB show of the year as well, all coming up in just a few minutes. Yes, indeedy. No food show today because of our early off time. Hamp and OB, as we had mentioned, coming up at 11 o'clock, Andy. I did want to mention, though, that January is National Soup Month. We're going to be focusing on some yummy soups on my TV cooking segment this coming Wednesday on WGN-TV. What do you think of this soup? This is something that you don't see all the time, but it's pretty delicious, a little bit unique. And, man, in this cold weather that we're about to have this week, I think is about one of the most perfect things you could possibly have. Lasagna soup. Chianti lasagna soup. All the ingredients that you would put in a lasagna, but in soup form. So it has a chicken broth base into which you put a marinara sauce. You can make your own. Super easy to make. I made some earlier this week for a seafood pasta that I made. But I made my own marinara because it's super easy and I think delicious. But if you want to use the jarred marinara, that's perfectly fine too. I'm not a food snob. I'm going to tell you don't do that because it's super convenient. And I know a lot of you are super busy. So it's got that. It's got onions, garlic, of course. It has the meat mixture in it is just like lasagna. It's about half ground beef and half Italian sausage. Now, the way that I'm going to make it this coming Wednesday on TV, I'm going to use ground turkey because I think that you really cannot tell the difference in a sauce like this between the ground turkey and the ground beef. There are so many other ingredients and spices and herbs that it's pretty hard to tell the difference. So I've got regular ground sausage, and I've got the ground turkey. I'm going to brown those up with some onions and garlic. I put the marinara in, put the chicken broth in, get that up to a nice boil, let all those things with, you know, a bunch of different spices and things like that. We're going to be posting the recipe, and I'll tell you where we'll post it in a second, give you a chance to jot it down if you want. But you let all those things, you know, kind of incorporate together a little bit. And then you take lasagna noodles and don't leave them whole, but break them into kind of bite-sized pieces and put those in your broth / marinara sauce. And just let those cook for a little while until the lasagna noodles soften down. And, you know, the starches from the pasta will help thicken your sauce and make it more of a lasagna-like consistency. But from there, you take a mixture of ricotta cheese and Parmesan cheese, grated Parmesan. Mix all that up together and then take your mixture in a bowl, your soup in a bowl, put a little dollop of this cheese mixture on top of it. It's just like lasagna. And super stick to your ribs. And on a cold day, like we're going to be having the next week or so around here, that's going to be something good. So that's going to be this coming Wednesday on my weekly cooking segment on WGN TV. It's about 9:35 every Wednesday morning. Roll up my sleeves and get in there, and I'll show you how easy it is to make this and how delicious it is. We always post the videos. We always post the recipes, and it's an easy way to remember where to find them, wgntv.com/DeanCooks. And there you can find all the recipes. Now, if you want us to send the recipes to you automatically every week, we can do that too. And what you do there is text the word cooks. So it's, you know, where you would normally put the message. Put the word cooks, and where you would put the address, send it to 97999, and we will that'll put you on the list, and you'll automatically get my recipes every single week. Okay, so some soups, and in the next couple of weeks, I want to make a nice French onion soup, a classic French onion soup, because that's my favorite soup in the world. You know, on Super Bowl Sunday, which is coming up right around the corner, we normally feature some soup recipes. So we're going to, you know, in this cold spell that we're going to have of winter, we're going to feature some nice soup recipes. So stand by for all that. When we come back from the break, we are going to feature a little something with Kevin Hart that we did not too long ago. Kevin Hart is actually in Chicago today. He's been at the Chicago Theater Friday, Saturday, and he is appearing there again tonight. But in the meantime, he's up at DraftKings at Wrigley Field. It's going to be, as a matter of fact, he's there right now. He's making an appearance there right now. So let me give you a few details on that, and we'll share a little conversation that we had with Kevin Hart on the red carpet not too long ago. All coming up next. Holiday season typically is among the busiest movie times of year. This year has been no exception. The big winners for the holiday weekend, well, this past weekend itself, Mufasa, the Disney picture, the prequel to The Lion King, wound up being the number one movie of the weekend. Sonic the Hedgehog 3 comes in at number two for the weekend and globally has now made $1 billion. Dollars. That's amazing to me for a kids movie. You know, people want to take their kids to be distracted for a couple of hours, apparently. So those have been the number one and number two movies. Nosferatu, the vampire movie, remake of the 1922 German silent film. Pretty scary. That came in number three for the weekend. And then let me see, what else do we have here? Wicked is in the, still in the top five. Moana 2, still in the top five. So, you know, those are the movies that are out there. Have some of you seen Nosferatu in particular? I gave it a really good review. I think it's a gorgeously made movie. I think it's really interesting. I think it's the way a scary movie ought to be. Not a fan necessarily of, you know, these big slasher movies that are gratuitously violent. And this one is scary and suspenseful. And I think it's really, really, really well done. I loved it. That said, many of you have texted me and told me how much you disagree with my review on that. Perfectly fine. There's plenty of room at the table for opinions. As the great Roy Leonard used to say, it's why Baskin-Robbins makes 31 flavors. There's something for everyone. So while I loved Nosferatu, some of you couldn't stand it, just really couldn't stand it. So let me call out to people who have seen the movie and tell me what you thought of it. I'd love to get some opinions on this so other people can, you know, make up their minds if they want to go see it or not. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number, as always, 312-981-7200 for Nosferatu. But there's something else that you've seen. What about Mufasa? I've heard some back and forth on that. I thought that was a beautiful movie also. Beautifully made, beautifully computer animated, which I'm not overly a fan of. I prefer humans working on these kinds of things, but you know, nothing's going to stop computers and character generation and AI and all that. I thought it was a beautifully made movie, interesting story that told the story of how Mufasa, the father figure in The Lion King, came to be king. You know, some I loved it, and other people have said that they didn't care for it. So we'll get some opinions on some of the movies that are out there. Pretty much universally, everybody has loved Wicked. I haven't heard anybody say I didn't like Wicked. Some people have said it wasn't my, you know, it's not music. I don't especially like musicals. I'll be really curious when Bob Surratt comes back tomorrow to see if Marianne drug him to see Wicked, because he doesn't like musicals. But it's a really great movie. I fully expect it to do really well with the Golden Globes tonight and with the Oscars when those come out in March. But so, you know, I'm curious to get some of your opinions and some of your reviews on some of the movies that are out there. Nosferatu in particular. That's been really interesting to see the range of opinions on that. 312-981-7200. So Kevin Hart is he's been appearing at the Chicago Theater Friday, Saturday, and is appearing there again tonight at the Chicago Theater. Really funny doing stand-up if you're a fan. But he is the television spokesperson for DraftKings. And he, while he's in town, he is making an appearance at the DraftKings location in Wrigleyville. He is there right now as we speak. His appearance started at 10:30. I would imagine he'll be there like for an hour, probably. That's normally how they do those things. So if you're a Kevin Hart fan, Wrigley Field is the place to be right now for that. I wanted to go back. They invited me to come and talk to him. You know, I love talking to Kevin. We've done it a million times. But obviously I'm on the radio right now, so I couldn't get over to Wrigley Field to do that. But I did talk to Kevin a couple of months ago. We were in Los Angeles. He was part of the cast of a movie called Borderlands, which was you know, a big action movie. It's not the kind of movie that Kevin has ever done before. And so on the red carpet, we talked about that, of taking on a new genre of films. But while I was talking to him, he was interrupted by two of his castmates, one Mr. Jack Black and one Ms. Jamie Lee Curtis. This is what it sounded like on Hollywood Boulevard in Los Angeles.
I love that we're going to get Kevin Hart in space now in Borderlands.
this is
a whole new thing for you, right?
This is a big one. You know, it's a different look, a different feel. But more importantly, what I think I love the most about it is that it's something unique to the fan base. So I'm unexpected, and you know, not necessarily what people would think Roland could be, which is what made it that much more of a challenge to do. So after taking on the challenge, surpassing the challenge, the next thing is just to get people to come out and see it so that you guys can understand, get on the same page that we all are, which is knowing why Roland's so special, why the choice was made, and why the material is definitely what it's supposed to be. I think you guys are in for a treat.
What do you think about Jack Black coming up behind you?
I think Jack Black is great.
I can't believe I'm interrupting.
Give me a hug. You know?
Wait a minute.
My God.
Jamie Lee
so
Curtis.
Clean. I'm afraid to touch it because I don't want to.
Look at this.
Jamie Lee.
She don't like to be left out of hugs.
I like
Jamie
hugs.
Jamie don't like to be left out of hugs.
This is an A-list hug right now.
It's an A-list hug.
I'm getting it.
A very big A-list hug.
Yeah, there you go. Kevin Hart interrupted by Jack Black and Jamie Lee Curtis on the red carpet. This was a few months ago when the movie Borderlands came out. And it's always fun to talk to Kevin. I always think about it, and I'm sure he's thinking about it because it is cold today in Chicago. One of Kevin's visits when he was here with Ice Cube, where he and Ice Cube starred in the movie. I think it was the first ride-along movie. I took them out to Wrigley Field, and that was the polar vortex year. It was so cold and so snowy, but they still agreed to come out. And I had a hot dog vendor meet us out there, and the three of us ate hot dogs in front of Wrigley Field. Probably was about 15 degrees above zero. It was pretty cold. It was very snowy, but I always remember in this cold weather, Kevin turned to me and said, "Dean, this is disrespectful cold, and it's not too far off the way that he's experiencing Chicago today." So I'm sure we're going to hear about that. Anyway, Kevin Hart at DraftKings in Wrigleyville at the Chicago Theater today. Tomorrow morning on the WGN-TV Morning News, we will be recapping the Golden Globe Awards. Those are tonight, starting at 7 o'clock. They are on CBS this year. Normally it's on NBC, but you'll find them if you're an award show fan. You'll be able to watch those on CBS, and I believe it's also streaming live on Paramount Plus if you prefer to watch it that way. But you know, we will have highlights of all of the winners, highlights of the losers, the speeches, the reactions. We'll kind of combine it all and feature it tomorrow morning on our WGN-TV Morning News. So I hope you will tune in for that.